Golf Smarter Premium number 546, published on June 28, 2016. The most effective method to get children to fall in love with golf is Snag. And we'll talk about the beauty of golf in Heber Valley, Utah.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, John.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Great to be here. You know, frequently I'll get listeners writing to me asking, you know, I want to get my kids started in golf. What shall I do? It's like, why are you asking me? But what I like to say is start them on putting. Mm-hmm. Because if they can master that, and it's the easiest thing not only to conceptualize, it's like there you put a ball in front of the hole or you put there and you could just put it in there. You know, if you get them to fall in love with putting and they become good at it, everything else gets easy.
Sure.
And absolutely, it's the easy thing. It's because hitting a golf ball is so hard, you don't want to do that to a little kid. You've got a better idea on how to get kids started with golf.
Yes, we do. We do. We have a lot of fun with it. And the putting idea is a great thing, but you've got to go to where the putting holes exist, which
that's
typically are golf courses. Okay. And families live in neighborhoods, and neighborhoods have parks, right? And so Snag is designed to be entirely above ground. So with our equipment, okay, the ball is a Velcro-based ball. When it hits, it sticks. Same reward that you had before, and a child can do this. And so we do have a putter that we actually call a roller to start with, because putting is a foreign word to a child. It's like asking a child to work on a swing plane. Chances are their arms are going out and they're going to start zooming around.
Well, asking an adult to work on a swing plane is also a difficult concept. Yeah.
So with this, we have all sorts of tools and fun things that are very kid-centric. Starting new at golf is what SNAG stands for, S-N-A-G.
Oh, okay. Here, let me take that and show that. Put that, hold this up in front of the other camera. So you can see this is just a Velcro here, and the ball sticks clearly right to it. A little flag on top, so we have a target.
We call that our flag sticky.
This is our flag sticky thingy.
Yep.
Okay.
And so, you know, we have two clubs in SNAG.
Okay.
One that we call a roller, okay? And a roller is for rolling balls. And so as such, when you have a roller, okay, you're going to roll the ball, and the child learns that right from an early age. Later in life, of course we're going to teach putting, okay? But to begin with, for the concept, is that this is the club you use to roll the ball.
How easy is that? And it could be right or left-handed.
Right or left-handed.
Sorry, okay. Stitch in the head.
So the other club that we have is called the launcher to start with, okay? It actually is an 8-iron face, okay? That's the loft that it is. You can see that it's oversized.
Okay? Yeah, oversized is an understatement. Okay. Yeah, okay. A little cavity back activity here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, cavity back is very important. And then also the fact that this has a D weight. A good friend of mine is a woman named Jan Stevenson, okay, ex-LPGA superstar. And she was hitting a Snag club for the first time ever. And she turns to me and she says, you know, John, this is maybe a silly question, but does this club have a D weight? And I said, well, you know, that one's a D1. And she goes, oh, my God, all my clubs are D1s. This feels good. Give me another ball, right?
So I'm sorry for being stupid. What's a D weight?
A D weight is the weight of the club to shaft and how it's balanced. So it's a balanced club.
Look at that.
And so if you are a balanced club, then it swings appropriately. And some people like a little heavier on one end and lighter on the other end. And so there's these D weights. Our clubs have D weights just like real clubs. Okay. The next thing that we did is that we discovered through the PGA and many pros that they actually feel that the grip is an important thing in golf.
Sure.
Okay. And they go on ad nauseum about it, as well they should. Okay. But a kid doesn't have time for all that.
Right.
So we've taken it down to a 10-second lesson that they can handle themselves. Right. And it works as simple as this. You take the club and you put your left thumb on yellow. You connect your hands, put your right thumb on red.
Now it's like we're playing Twister.
And we have a perfect grip. When a child looks down in the baseball grip that so many of them use,
sure,
I can say, Johnny, natural. Johnny, is that left on yellow, right on red? Oh, yeah, I got it. And immediately they have it, and they can self-correct and it took me 10 seconds to teach it.
Wow.
Try it. Hold it in your right hand.
Uh-huh.
Put left on yellow.
Left on yellow.
Right on red.
Nope. Left on yellow. Right on red. And look at that. I have one of the better grips that I've had all week. That's brilliant.
Just that easy. Yeah. The entire program of SNAG is taught around kids speak and learning how the kids communicate, how they can understand. It was all developed in a partnership between a PGA touring pro that actually played on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
He married a dean of education.
Mm.
And everything he said about golf, she says, prove it, show it, demonstrate it. And so a dean of education at a university helped develop all the curriculum to fit kids, not adults. Although with SNAG, we teach kids from 5 to 95.
Sure.
If you've never golfed before, then you are starting new at golf.
Absolutely.
And if I teach you this way to start, you'll have success, understanding, and you'll be a lot more successful and probably stay in the game versus all the frustration of starting out with metal clubs and a regular ball. Our goal of our company is a funny goal. Not a lot of companies have this goal. Our goal is to get rid of all of our customers. And if we do that, we're very successful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're turning all of our people into regular, avid golfers who stay in the game, right? So that's really where we're at. To do this, we have to start out with large numbers. And through extensive research, we discovered that there's a lot of kids that are in schools, right?
You would think so.
And the second place that we found that there were a lot of kids are in parks,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if we take golf to those two places, that's where the kids are,
mm-hmm.
right? They aren't at the golf courses yet, okay? They're in school, and they're in their neighborhood parks. So with SNAG and its tennis ball, I can tee it up in the gymnasium, right? You can't tee a tennis up in a gymnasium. Fun, but inherently dangerous, right? So as such, teachers, PE teachers, can now teach golf as a PE unit for the first time ever.
Wow.
What that means is, do I have to golf today? Yes, it's PE. I have no choice. I'm a boy, I'm a girl. You're both golfing.
Yep.
Everybody. I'm good at it. I like it. I discover this through PE. Okay. Where do I go next? Well, how
right.
did soccer become the world champions when it's not even indigenous to our sport here?
Yeah,
okay? It's not part of the United States culture.
Right, exactly.
Yet we're the world champions because they have a system called easy as 1, 2, 3. Put it in PE to introduce it. Put it in little leagues and adapt it to small or large to make it easy and let them play. Emphasis on play.
Absolutely.
Okay? Because that's what kids do best. And then be sure to give them snacks. That's, can't leave that part out, right?
Gotta be hydrated.
Yes. And after that, they matriculate to number 3. T-ball is not baseball. There's no pitcher, for crying out loud.
Right.
Every 5-year-old who's playing it, ask them if they're a baseball player. By golly, they're baseball players.
Right. So okay? They experience with this, they're golfers.
Tiny fields, post for a plate, all these types of things, and they move up with skills and passion, and someday these T-ballers become major league ball players,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And that's how it's done. We in golf have to change the paradigm of how we teach in order to grab the masses, and we find the masses are in school. So if we hook these kids early, then we can move on. There's a gentleman in the golf industry that a lot of people know named Jack Nicklaus.
I've heard of him.
Okay. Jack Nicklaus said, in today's ESPN world, if we don't introduce golf to children 8, 9, and 10 years old, they choose another sport, and we will never get them to golf.
Mm-hmm.
He can back this up with a fact. Jack Nicklaus happens to have 22 grandchildren. Only 2 play golf.
Wow.
Yes. That's a shocking stat for most people to think that, of course, Jack Nicklaus, one of the greatest in the games ever, all of his grandchildren must, you know, play golf. No, they play softball. They swim. They play volleyball. They're great soccer players. A couple of them are picking up lacrosse, and Jack goes to their games, right?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
He's still a proud grandpa.
Okay, absolutely. And so it tells you that something's happening in our world here, that these kids are hooking up with sports, and they fall in love with them, mm-hmm. and they play them. All I'm asking is that we need to put golf in their way and let them fall in love with this too. Mm-hmm. The moms and dads will come out and support. They'll coach. Tommy Lasorda does not coach T-ball. Okay. You know, moms and dads do with great big hearts. And so that's the difference of what Snag can do today to change the paradigm on how to bring golf and
grow
the game.
How was this business developed? Where did it come from?
Came from a gentleman named Terry Anton. Terry Anton, whose nickname is the Snag Daddy. Okay. It developed Snag as a way to grow the game and get more kids involved with it. And then it grew and grew as it materialized. And we are now in 42 countries.
Wow.
Okay. We are huge in Korea and Japan. Just huge. All the schools are teaching it. The universities are teaching it to the teachers who are going to become teachers when they graduate. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't noticed, the LPGA Tour is loaded with Asian very good players,
sure,
right?
Sure.
That's because these kids are learning to play golf early.
Yeah.
I talked to a bunch of PGA women from Japan, and they all just giggled and laughed when they saw the Snag. Snag's been there over 10 years. And they say, Snagu, Snagu, I Snag, right? They all start out at Snag.
Wow.
And then matriculate
that's
on.
Great.
Okay.
So how long has Snag been around?
Oh, gosh, I bet it's 12, 13 years now.
Really?
Right? So it's been around for a long time. It has got a lot of traction overseas in Europe and in Asia, and it's getting more and more traction here.
Oh, good.
And we're changing our paradigm a little bit on how we do it. The golf pros see Snag as in a sense, a toy because it reeks of toy to them.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And I don't blame them at all.
Just the colors
and,
in itself.
And it was designed and based upon that on purpose, right?
Sure.
To be appealing that way. But we need to not necessarily only think of it as golf, but we need to think of it as sport. It is a life sport.
Yeah.
Okay. Soccer moms watch soccer, and it's fabulous. Golf moms golf with their kids, right? And then as they grow and they all matriculate to a golf course, they golf as families. Mm-hmm. And it is a life sport. And that's so important to keeping families bound together. So we feel that it's better for us to teach it at the off-campus, off-golf course start first, mm-hmm, and work our way to and deliver golfers to the PGA pros.
Is your primary target consumer or target audience, would that be curriculum in schools?
Yeah. We have a second website called snagpros.com.
Okay.
And for us, pros are threefold. One, they are school pros. Two, park pros. Three, golf pros. Mm-hmm. And so those are our three markets that we feel that Snag needs to get into to grow. As we develop those markets and more kids play Snag, at that point in time, the retail market will grow. We currently do have a retail market. It's online.
Okay.
But
so
it isn't our
question.
Point of emphasis, right? Just like every Little League dad buys a bat and ball for their child as
sure,
they get.
Sure, of course. You
know, we have a really fun little pack for families to go to the park themselves.
Oh, great.
And
that's what I was going to ask about. What's your price point for someone to buy it as a gift?
$109 will get you two clubs, balls, a case, a flag sticky, and a launcher. You're playing golf just like that, and everybody can play.
Fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous. So the website is snaggolf.com.
Correct.
And also
snagpros.com.
For teachers of any type.
Correct.
Who want to incorporate this. And you've developed an entire curriculum around
entire
it.
Entire curriculum. It's all educational based. It's approved educationally. It meets the NASPE standards, which is one of the highest levels they are. And it was an award-winning program from the PE Association itself.
Oh, congratulations. This is awesome. I wish you a lot of luck that you're around for another 12 times 12 times 12 years. And I think that you're really on to something very important.
Thank you so much. We appreciate being here.
Stay tuned for information on how to win that high heat driver. But first, for premium subscribers only, here's a conversation I had with Dallin Kocher of the Heber Valley Visitors Bureau. And I'm sure I pronounced his name wrong. The ING conference this year was held in the Heber Valley area of Utah, which is about 15 minutes past Park City when you're on the way to Sundance if you start in Salt Lake City. Now, we played at the Wasatch Golf Course and the Soldier Hollow Course, two very different, very fun, and very challenging courses. But I got to tell you, the views were off the charts as you're surrounded, even in springtime, late springtime,
you're surrounded by majestic snow-capped mountains. Just beautiful. Here's my conversation with Dallin. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Dallin.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So you are tourism.
Correct.
You're in the hospitality industry.
Correct, yeah.
The theme of the conference here at the International Network of Golf, the ING conference, is trying to appeal to millennials.
Right.
Trying for the golf industry to figure out how to communicate with millennials. And you made some really interesting points about, in the hospitality industry of who makes the decisions and how they find out, which is non-traditional.
Right, yeah. So research has borne out that in all consumer spending, women account for 80% of all consumer spending. And so that's something to know that right off the bat, that that they make those a lot of those decisions and account for all that consumer spending. But another thing to know is that 75% of all women make decisions on travel.
Right.
So they will, maybe a husband and a wife or a couple will come together and say, let's go on a trip. What should we do? It might be a team effort, but in the end of it, a lot of the time it's the women's making the decision. And we see that bearing out in our own industry, in our own analytics on our own website, that over 50% of our traffic, we're looking probably like maybe 60-65% of our traffic comes from women, and that means they're looking to plan a vacation. They want to do something with their family. They want to take out, do a girls' night out thing. They want to be together. That's what we're looking and seeing, that these trends are that they're making these decisions for the family.
So with that information and a young person, guiding this organization, what kind of strategies do you have to create to also attract, I'm sure, tourism or golfers? What's your specific goal?
We try to attract all visitors to the Valley, and we've made a focus on a few different avenues. Family, we want to attract family-friendly activities and vacations, family reunion type of things. We want to attract golfers because we have these 90 holes of great golf here in Utah. You probably saw the course at Wasatch yesterday. It was great.
Beautiful.
Good, great
stunning
conditions and beautiful. And, we want to have great meeting spaces. Like this here at the Zorma is a great meeting space. So having a meeting conference market. So those are kind of the areas that we're focusing on.
But the meeting conference thing is not a millennial.
No, that's
you
just,
don't have to worry about
that's
them.
More like business related stuff.
So yeah, absolutely.
But as far as what we're trying to attract, our strategy is we are going to write our content knowing that who's viewing our webpage. Maybe we're not going to say rough, tough, and tumble adventure, but maybe family friendly, great things to do with your kids, how to get out and be unplugged from your devices for a little bit and reconnect with your family and out in nature and all these different things. Because we know that if we know who's reading our website, we need to write to who's reading it. So that's what we're changing our content strategy to be more focused on that. And so, and more Google-centric, that when people search things like, what am I going to do after golf? Things to do after golf. Or things to do, where can I golf? What family-friendly golf vacations? Those kind of things. We need to be writing the answers to those questions and providing that information. So that's kind of one of the strategies that we're taking. Being very active socially. Having fun with our social media presence. I always like to tell people that if you're looking to be a social person, and there's a lot of different apps out there, right? You can go get drowned in the app soup, right? But what I like to say is Facebook and Instagram, start there. Those are easy. You can have a lot of fun with them. Instagram's just a great picture. Facebook, you can engage with your audience and great analytics and stuff like that. But the reason I say that is because more people spend more time on Facebook and Instagram than all the other social platforms combined.
Wow.
So they're spending time on those
Instagram
sites.
Instagram really exploded.
Right,
it came
exactly.
out of nowhere.
Right.
And, it could be gone in a year, too.
Right. And so those are some different platforms, I would say. If you're looking to just get started, just start with Facebook and Instagram. And then I say, have fun with it.
Yeah.
It's don't go into so much of the sciences. Just have fun with it, and you'll see some great results.
You also have the challenge of not being, probably not having one of the bigger budgets to deal
right.
with, but also is that Heber Valley is not really well known, and
right.
you're competing against some pretty world-class destination places not far away in Park City
right.
and in Salt Lake City.
Right. And so,
and Sundance.
So that's exactly right. We have
profile,
to, we have to leverage our location and our proximity to some of those great places like Park City and Salt Lake City. You know, we're 15 minutes from Park City Main Street. You can be out there having a great time on Park City Main Street and then come down to Heber Valley. And we see that. There's a give and take between us and Park City. We have a great relationship with those folks over there. We get a lot of people who come in from over to our visitor center and say, we're from Park City. We're staying there for a week. Wanted to see what's doing in Heber Valley for the day. And vice versa. We come in. People will come stay here. What would you do here for? We're here for a week. What should we do? Well, we say, here, do this, that, and the other. And then take a day and go see Park City or go see Sundance or go Salt Lake. I mean, it's a give and take relationship. We want to make sure. But we need to do is, like you talked about, is take leverage on those great brands of Park City. You know, you could probably go anywhere in the world and say Park City and say, oh yeah, I know where that is. And they say, you know, Heber Valley, like, never heard of it.
Right.
You know where Park City is? Oh yeah, yeah. Well, just down
Keep
the hill.
Going, yeah, right.
So we got to do our job of leveraging those brands.
And so how much of your target demographic are millennials for you? I mean, you may have the same issues that golf has.
Right. So we find that we try to play that multi-generational card. So when we talked about this on the panel the other day, that
right.
there's travel.
I was hoping you'd bring this
travel
up.
Is multi-generational, right? So let's talk. Let's just use me as an example. So let's say I want to plan a trip to some of the Mighty Five national parks here in Utah, right? So I plan it with my wife. We have our three kids, and we say, this sounds like a fun thing to do, but let's invite Mom, Grandma, and Grandpa to come with us. And that becomes a bigger travel experience. And then they also do the same thing. They're on the flip side of that. They're going to be saying, oh, we want to do a trip, but we want to take our kids and grandkids with us.
Right.
So way I bring that up is because we look at our website, our traffic between millennials and the next generation of the Gen X or little into baby boomers is about the same. So we're seeing that maybe the millennials are trying to plan vacations for their parents, and parents are trying to plan vacations with their kids and grandkids. So that's our goal, is to say it's a family reunion destination. You can come here, everybody be on the same roof and have a great time and all these great family reunion areas. So that's what we're trying to leverage.
Right. And then do you target specific geographies to attract guests?
At this time, we are kind of we find that still a lot of people don't know where Heber Valley or Midway, where we are, just on the other side of the mountain in Salt Lake City. We go over there and say, have you ever been to Midway or the Zermatt out of Midway? Like, where's that? Yeah. Well, it's just on the other side of those mountains. And so we are targeting, a lot of it is the Wasatch Front. People want to get away from the Salt Lake City area, get away for the weekend, and others who are within the drive market are willing to, you know, I want a break from the big city life, or I want something different. So that's kind of our drive market.
So maybe I wasn't clear in my question, but when I talk about target geographically your millennials, are you looking to attract guests from the middle states, or you know, then you have, are you going towards Northern or Southern California, where you have a lot of young people? Where are you trying to bring people from?
What we try to do is we try to leverage...
The internet doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah. It's all online. No, we try to leverage our relationship with the Utah Office of Tourism. So we know that people are going to come to Utah to see those Mighty Five national parks. And we wanted to...
Not Salt Lake City?
What's that?
And Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and Salt Lake City. They want to see
yeah.
see some of these cool areas. And so what we try to do is when people are searching for, you know, things to do around the area. We want to be a part of those searches and provide itineraries and strategies and ideas on how to travel. So our targets, we do try to get the Southern California. That's where a lot of our traffic comes from our website, and we see a lot of things like that. And so we're probably more of a, we probably stick more to the Intermountain West, so the, you know, Colorado, the Idaho, Montana, and Southern California and Nevada. That's kind of where we see a lot of our traffic coming from. And like you said, it comes back to that. We need to brand and leverage the Park City and the Salt Lake City brands that are already there.
Right. And just to make sure that everybody understands, the five parks are?
Zions National Park, Arches National Park, Canyonlands, Capitol Reef, and Bryce Canyon.
That was just a test. I wanted to see if you could do it.
Yeah, that was right on the spot. I was like...
Very good. Well, Dallin Kosher of Hebrew Valley Tourism at Chamber of Commerce.
Correct, yep.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to have you guys out in Utah.
So in the first conversation with John Johnson about Snag, you probably noticed our references to showing the clubs. Now, most Golf Smarter interviews are now recorded in video so that I can offer you a choice of listening on the go or watching when you have the time. In addition to subscribing to the free podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much every podcast channel out there, you can also subscribe to our Golf Smarter TV YouTube channel. Of course, the easiest way to listen is the free Golf Smarter app. So back to my point about the video of this interview. In addition to seeing the Snag system as he shows it to us and the clubs as he shows it to us, I've also included a short video clip of my first swing on the driving range with the Super Snag Launcher, which is basically their driver. Remember, you're hitting a ball that is similar to a tennis ball, not a golf ball. So I hit the Super Snag Launcher off the Super Launcher pad at the Super Snag target, which was about 30 to 40 yards away, and sure enough, I got a Super Snag hole-in-one. I tried five more swings and didn't even get close. Again, for more information, go to snaggolf.com or for the full educational curriculum, snagpros.com. It's an amazing system, and it really, really works. If you check them out on Facebook, you'll see they're all over the world with kids trying this and succeeding. It's phenomenal. Now let's talk about putting a brand new driver in your hands. That's right. Last week, we announced that Dean Knuth of Knuth Golf has been so happy with the response he's received from the Golf Smarter community that he's agreed to give away a brand new high-heat driver with your custom specs. To enter, follow our links on Instagram and Twitter at Golf Smarter, on the Golf Smarter Facebook page, or just go to golfsmarter.com and click on the image in the featured section right on the homepage. All the details to win are on the registration page, and deadline for entry is 11:59 p.m. Sunday, July 17th. We'll announce the winner on the show of July 19th. On the registration page, there's also information on generous discounts they're offering on the driver, the fairway woods, and the hybrids when you mention Golf Smarter. Now, what's so special about this giveaway and these discounts is that Dean and his business partner, Steve, are the entire company. They don't have a huge margin. They're not interested in competing in the volume with the major manufacturers. All they're interested in is making amateur golfers better, period. So help yourself to better golf by registering to win and putting a new club in your bag. Now, usually I would sign off to, because I'd ask if you'd have any questions, comments, or suggestions. But actually, right now I'm in Europe on vacation, and so I don't care. And I've produced this week's and the next two episodes before I left and scheduled them to publish on our regular schedule. So as always, I really appreciate that you listen and hope to speak with you personally very soon.